some other alphabet in here which will be changed and mixed and things like that. In Arabic, it's not like that. Therefore, that three verb of alphabet of verb are quite visible. The exception is the verbs that have four letters. And even fifth, very rare. But mainly is this, right? So I learned that, and I learned it good, because I needed it. Because the books you read in Iran, it depends when it is written. Go 100 years ago, which is my grandpa's language, is more than maybe 60% Arabic. You go further back, you will find the books that are mainly Arabic. And I have to learn all of this, because this is how you think the culture and the literature, right? So I'm very hesitant to draw a fixed line over there. Another app, simply, if somebody doesn't know about Quran and Islam and Iranian version and Halaj and all that, means that I am hap. No, I have the hap. I am. Ana means me. Al-haq is the haq. That alif lam is the, right? And al-haq means I am the haq. You see? And it's open to interpretation. And that's why they killed the guy. Because they choose the Quranic interpretation and this and that. Oh, this is blasphemy because you said I'm the God. You know that they offered him that, we'll say that you said Anam al-Haq, means I am with God or I am with Haq. He said, no, I didn't say that. What was the real thing then? Honestly, I don't know. And I don't want to draw a line over there. I know that a simple person will not dare to say Anam. But somebody like Mansur Halaj, who has spent his entire life being in that environment and knowing the consequence of that, it makes it very difficult. And to connect it to Quran, that I hesitate even more, because all the different meaning and representation and all that, which has divided the people to different sect of the religion in Islam, comes from taking Quran lightly and to say this means this. To me it doesn't. To me, reading Quran, you need to know perfect Arabic. Then maybe you know what the translation is. Here we face it. Recently, somebody suggested that let's have another translation, because there is no good translation out. Yes, there is no good translation of Masnavi out. The suggestion is let's do it all together. A good proposition, because all together we have a lot of people to do it. But it doesn't solve the main problem. This is not a simple text. And no one could ever translate the poem. When you translate it, something will be missed. That delicate game of words which will provoke imagination. When they translate the poem, normally it looks silly to me, because I have seen the translations. Because I was exposed to so many different languages, and I know a couple of them, so I could read the poems. But do I dare to translate it to the other language? I never did. One of my favorites is a French poet, Apollinaire. The translation of his poems looks something silly to me, like a childish confusion and something like that. Because there is something that it could only do it in that language. That's what poetry language is. As far as I know, all Buddha books are like that. And more than that, the only books I know, they recite stories, just as Rumi's do. You have seen that. I firmly believe that he is not reciting the stories. The stories are just one tool. One tool, because the story will help you remember, first of all, to put it all together. And a story you could narrate it again and again differently. The story will give you an idea. It's a different matter if you listen to the story as a judge does. I mean, in court, the story is supposedly narrating the reality, something that happened. In the stories here, I don't think these stories happen, really. Because I have seen some stories that Rumi, I knew the story. The story was old and famous. Rumi changed it. One of the best examples is the end of the book we're reading, book one. There is a story about a fight. A fight between Ali and Amr ibn Abdul-Hud. I know even the name of the guy, because that's how we had to learn it. There is this fight, they fight, it's a wrestling match. This is the old custom, when two armies confront each other, one will come from here, the other here, over there, and they wrestle, and the outcome will somehow define the outcome of the war, and things like that. The story goes that they fight each other, and at the end, Ali knocked the guy down, and everybody waited to the end to cut his head off. But he wouldn't. He will stand up and walk around a couple of times. Then he will come back and will cut the head of the guy. Period. When he's back, the people will say, "What was that funny stuff about? Why did you hesitate?" And Ali will say, "Because he spit on my face. And I got angry. And I thought, this is not my personal conflict. I'm here for the holy war. I shouldn't kill him with anger. So I walked around and I let my anger to calm down. Then, yes, I killed him." You see, this is the story that I heard in childhood, and they tell it, and they're documented and all that. At the end of this book, you will see the same fight. Here, the guy who is laying down, first of all, will converse with Ali. "That boy, did you hesitate? Tell me what happened to you. And if you don't say, I will tell you what reflection I had from this feeling in you," and things like that. And at the end of the story, not only the guy will not be killed, five members of his family become Muslim. Are you listening to this? And Rumi will talk about the five senses that you have. So he changed a famous historical religious event. He changed it all because he wanted to talk about something else. Therefore, I don't believe that really there was one guy who was so pretty, so beautiful, that all the problem of one nation turned around that. I'm talking about Joseph. I find it hard to listen to these stories, because some parts of it really will crash your mind to believe in that, in some of those details. But I have no problem with that, because I take them as stories. I know storytelling is trying to educate people, is a tool. Therefore, I'm sorry, I don't have a black and white answer for that. Especially when you compare it with Quranic verses, which I'm really puzzled. if you know one of the things about the Quranic verses, you will have problem with a lot of interpretations. You know what is the famous story about that? That the Quran was not written and was not supposed to be written down. It was a duty of Muslims in that time to memorize it. It's not something to read. You have to memorize it. It goes to the extent that the Arabs could, you know that in Islamic marriage, there is something that the husband should pay the wife. In the time of Muhammad, he could teach the wife one surah, and that would be enough value, like paying money, something like that. So it was memorized. Long after Muhammad and Omar and Abu Bakr, in the time of third caliph, they will realize that there is no single version of this saying of Muhammad and Quran. So they make an assembly, and that assembly will be told everybody, anyone has any part of this, bring it to us. They will bring it, in that assembly they put it together, and they wash or burn the rest of it. And the caliph will declare, this is Ottoman. He will declare that this is the only copy of the Quran. They write down four copies and say, this is it. Anybody who says there is one word less or more, this is blasphemy. So that's the book. See, if you accept this story, because this is again a story about 1,000 years ago, if you accept this, then you will look at the Quran differently. And the poetic language, it's even more than that. Personally, my enlightenment came when I had some problem. I went to different people about one part of Quran. And again, that exceptional teacher taught me something. I was going around saying, why is this story, this part, so harsh? Why? Because in the Holy Book, you're looking for the tender stuff. But here it's harsh, because it talks about beating and killing and all that stuff. As a young boy, I had a problem with killing and this stuff, because I haven't seen this much that I had seen now. You know what was his answer? You know, he told me that, have you paid attention to the title of that surah? You're good, that's the name. He said, and why the context is not that? One of the surahs is Surah An-Nisa, the women. He said, go and read it again. And you will see it's not talking about women. The subject is something else, altogether. But yes, at the beginning, he will say that if your wife doesn't listen to you, you should talk to her. If not, don't share your bed with her. If not, knock her and kick her. This is just the beginning. The rest is not talking about the same subject, something else. And over there, if my understanding is not that bad, that in all these stories, the women are the logic and the men are that. So if your brain doesn't work with you, do not share your dream with your brain and logic. So that's the way to deal with the logic. It made more sense to me then and now. And I don't go around and talk about it because I'm not qualified, period. I don't know Quran that well. I have read it, but as a student, I disqualify myself. For that matter, but when it comes to ruling, here, fortunately, he's not a prophet, he's a man,